G'day everybody. Welcome to our fortnightly live question and answer session. Thank you. We've had some really good questions come through from people. Getting different questions from all over nowadays. So it's really, really good. And but you may notice over our live talks, there's a lot of questions. You know, there's you know, some answers. There's a lot of different things that people are having with their horses, but they might find that you know, there's quite a few similar ways that you can sort of help horses out of those situations. There's one question I'm going to start with, and it's from Belinda. I have been watching your videos and apply to my other horses when I get time to work on my horses. I have an off-the-track thoroughbred, 15 years old. Had her for 3 months. Haven't started working with her too much as I had to get her health in order. Her previous owner said she was afraid of everyone and the other horses picked on her, so we put her in a paddock by herself. Now she is with me. She is the lowest ranked in the herd of five, but the herd accept her, but she shows no confidence. Is getting better with me, but not confident enough. One pat with a hand is scary for her. To gain her trust and more connection, should I apply the same with the flag to get her focused on the flag instead of her running all over the place? Get her focused and letting down. Never had a horse so frightened with so much fear. Would focusing on the flag be the best starting point? Thanks, Belinda. So for people who are not sure what you might be talking about there with just regaining the horse's focus with the flag. So just the way you've written it, it's not about focusing on the flag. The flag's just a tool that sort of for a moment can make you more important. So the flag is a distraction to get her away from what she's thinking about, and you are the connection, okay, that she can connect to. So don't think of it as, hey, look at the flag. Think of it as, hey, I'm over here. Here I am. So yes, in your question, is it a good starting point? It is. The only thing is if she's a very nervous mare, and you know, approaching her with a hand or something like that can make her really frightened, then I'd be a little wary, and careful with the flag. So with a mare like her, you might just have the flag discreetly down near your boot or something like that, and you just hold it there. You know, some of those horses, you could just, you know, I don't really wear leather chaps, so I don't do it as much, but you know, I see people like sort of Harry Whitney or even Ross Jacobs, you know, they when they distract a horse, they wear these leather chaps so they can just bang the lead rope on their leg and make a little pop sound, and that's enough to get the horse's thoughts back to them. But either way, whatever you use, you know, if you're using a little flag, you know, just a bit of like harder plastic, not hard plastic, but you know, you get the old shopping bags, but the newer kind of heavier plastic, just a bit of that, just on the end of a stick, you could just kind of just quickly pop it against your leg, and she'd go, whoop, what was that? And then you're standing calm and centered and strong, and she'll be distracted from what she was worried about. She'll think towards you, and then she sees you and your calmness there. And every time her thoughts go away and it becomes an issue. So looking over there softly is one thing, but if her thoughts are starting to, it's looking to you like there's worry in the cup and she's getting anxious, then you distract her back to you. And maybe in using the flag discreetly, don't like just go wave it around and stuff like that. Hey, look at the flag, because that sort of thing might send her off her, you know, really off her dial if she's frightened of stuff. That's why I'd probably just do a quick, hey, I'm over here, and let her center. So, yes, that would be where I'd start with her. But just remember, and this is for everybody, for a really nervous horse, it's important that they can center on you. You can center their thoughts. And then, yes, for a very nervous horse, you want them to come down and relax with you. But if you overdo focus relaxation and kind of do it thinking you're going to fix your horse, you might end up the creek a little bit later on, because the idea of it's we're trying to get horses to center and calm, and if they have to come down a few pegs, then they have to come down. But gaining focus is so we can, if they need help relaxing, we help them relax. But gaining focus is if they need, if we need to educate them, then we need that for education. So if you just use that focus, relax, as always a pathway to relaxation, then maybe you might have get a little stuck later on when you try and have them at a slightly heightened level of awareness, where they need to think and search and stuff like that. But definitely for an off-the-track horse that's really frightened, get her to relax. But what I like to do with the horses that are really nervous, if, even if I'm distracting them, once I got a little bit of them being focused, instead of just standing there and waiting till they go really relaxed and just I'm going to go to sleep with you, I try and offer them a pathway of education while they're focused yet still aware. So you've quietened them a little, you've got them centered, but instead of just standing and waiting for half an hour till they go through that, you know, till they've licked and chewed and all the calming signals of, you know, and they're just standing there kind of restful, I would most definitely say, why don't you follow me here with a bit of, you know, lead her just across here and just lead across here. And like, I just walk backwards with them and just maybe just steer them a little and walk a little and slow a little and speed up a little and down a little and then just stop a little and then relax a little. And so the horses are, you know, learning to think also as it's, while it's still in that kind of state of awareness, but not the state of awareness that has it really frightened. And that kind of helps establish a few, what I think it establishes is a horse learns that the pathway to feel a little bit better is sometimes following maybe a feel of a rein or an idea of yours instead of just, you know, focus, relax, and it sets them up just a little bit better to be prepared for riding and other things. So instead of feeling like the halter's always a trap, the halter's a pathway to maybe help that horse come down a few more pegs and relax. But yeah, for everybody, once again, training horses is not all about relaxation. You want to get a horse to have soft thoughts, calm with us, but it's not always about getting them relaxed. You don't want them frightened, but I think people kind of get relaxation till the horse is like in a state of frame of mind like it is when it's standing under a tree sleeping, and that's not really what we want. We want to show them that they can be safe enough around us that they can do it, but we don't want to be visiting it all the time. Why I'm saying this is because I've been doing, you know, clinics for quite a few years now. In the last recent years, I've been seeing a few people that have cottoned on to the, you know, focus and relax. Those horses that had done, that were nervous horses and they'd done too much of it, what's happened is they just kind of slip away and they just tumble down the staircase into this sort of state of false relaxation in a sense, but and they're still not comfortable in the working platform. So the working platform is the working awareness a horse needs, or the awareness a horse needs to think and work. They've actually been bypassing that platform and going down to the, hey, let's just relax. And when they get back up to that platform and say, oh, I've got to think, they go, oh, no, this is the place that I get really worried. And people haven't established that, you know, they've done their relaxation work, but they haven't stepped the horse up and said, now I need you to have a relaxed frame of mind, but I want you in that awareness state, like the green zone. I say the red, the green, and the blue. And the say blue is the good relaxation zone. I would say purple's not. So the reason I call it purple would be like shut down. So if you got up in the red, you know, everyone knows you're in the red, you're in the green, you're comfortable, you're in the blue, well, you're relaxed. Purple is a mix of red and blue. So it's like the horse looks relaxed, but it's feeling in the red in its mind, so that will be kind of shut down. So those two colours mix make purple, so that's why I call it purple. So, yeah, I hope you understand that. Yeah, I'm just reading the rest of your question up here, Belinda. I'm just trying to figure if I can see more of it on here. So with her confidence in the herd, I'm just trying to. It's not working on here, so I can't pick up that on the screen. But I've seen a lot of horses that slowly, like, what you're wanting to know about her herd, I guess it's about her herd confidence, is if it's like a person, if you know how you can sort of, whether it's a bad job. And you know when if you're going to work and your job was so stressful, well, you'd be stressed the night before you had to go to work the next day. Now we understand it with each other that I'm stressed about tomorrow, so I'm very stressed and I've got to go to work. I'm going to have a sleepless night, whatever. And that's life. That's the life of that we live in people, but. Could you imagine horses, okay? I believe horses, if you fix one part of their life where they go, well, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable around people. I'm comfortable when I go over there and in that people environment over there where those people are, whether it be up at your house or around the yards or whatever, I'm not frightened of that. Then there's that part of their life that the anxiety comes down and you build confidence in them. Some horses take a while in a herd to build a confidence up, and if they've had if it's an off the track horse that's had one of those really strange lives that's not really like a horse, then everything's a bit haywire and it's always been in a state of anxiety all the time. So it's gonna be anxious around horses as well. Some aren't, some are the opposite, some sort of, go to other extremes, but so I believe if you fix what you can fix around your horses, then there's part of them that fix. And when they go back in the herd, then there's a little less anxiety in that horse because part of their life is better than it used to be. And I think that little less anxiety will set them up to be a little bit more perceptive around the herd and settle in a little bit better. Because every time they see conflict, they get anxious. And if that's that could be set up through a whole series of things through their life. I'm not going to guarantee anything because anything can be sort of, this is just kind of, but I've seen there's a horse I helped a lady with at a clinic and he stopped pacing the fence when the other horses left their paddock. He started to calm down, everything, other things in his life changed. And you didn't work on that. It was another thing that was worked on. So yeah, I think some of that stuff may work, but I'm not saying I'm going to guarantee it. She might need some more time in the herd, but every time you're with her and get her confident and feeling good about things and take a bit of time with her, you might find she'll go back a bit better. Thanks very much for that question, Belinda. I've got to go back to the start again. I think Viv's up the top here. Viv, hi Mark. I'm doing well with my new shutdown horse. He's responding so well. But we still have the walking backwards thing if he doesn't want to go somewhere. Is it a good idea to disengage his back legs? Then instead of going forward in a straight line, do the sort of tacking like a yacht? So Viv, good on you, mate. To get a sort of a, I think he was a stand, was he a standy one that you got? I think he was a standy one, But from the last question and answer when you told me about him, really nice that you're making some progress, because the shutdown ones are going to be the ones that really test. Sometimes at a clinic, I can go and look like some sort of guru with some horse, but it's easy to get a really anxious horse that looks like the kind of the most crazy one at a clinic, I suppose, and settle it down. But to get a shut down horse and bring it out of its shell and start to get it searching and thinking is, well, it takes a bit more work and persistence and time and dedication. And those ones are the tough ones that you don't see the progress straight away, but you'll start to see it start to slowly, come out of its shell. And then if you were to look back a few months or 6 months, you'd go, oh, geez, there's been a big progress, yeah. with the disengaging the back legs, whatever it sort of takes, why I'm not sort of, you know, say you've got to disengage that horse or you've got to disengage that horse to some people, and some people might get confused and say, oh, I went and watched Mark for a bit and he said, you know, he's not really into disengaging a horse's hind feet. Well, that's not the case at all. The reason I don't encourage people sometimes to disengage a horse's back feet is because, one, they're really, really stuck in the reins. And when you pick up a feel on a rein and you put a little bend in them and you turn that feel into an indirect feel in the rein, the horse just crashes and doesn't know what to do. So the only way when you're riding a horse to disengage it is then, you know, people put their leg back and say, well, I'm going to make you move your hind feet over. And then that horse, it's one of those ex-race horses or, you know, a standard bred, all it's ever known is go forward. So maybe that little bit extra leg just made it go faster. So if a trainer said, go and disengage that horse, that, you know, they'd end up that in a mess because they pulled a rein around to get that horse to bend. And then they put a leg on to push the hip over and then they're in a mess. So, I wouldn't make anyone disengage a horse, but Viv, if you're feeling when you're doing the turns, if your horse gets stuck and braced in those feet, if you pick up a little indirect rein and that horse bends and you hold that bend and you just wait in there and that horse suddenly steps over in those hind feet where you've broken that set, you've freed up the feet again and it might be a chance for you to free up those thoughts and get the horse moving. So, yeah, I'd recommend disengaging the hip in a sense and getting it to step over in the hind feet. You know, it is, they say it's the motor of a horse, but I don't really care about the motor. I care about the input to motor, what's happening up in the mind of the horse, that, you know, that I don't care about, transferring the weight to different parts of its body and energy and all that. That's all done through the horse's decision-making and where its thoughts are. So if for anyone else, if you can't disengage the horse's hip or you can't pick up a rein and get it to step over and you have to kick it, and then when you kick it, it just runs forward, well, just sort of steer that horse to get to, you know, do whatever you can just to get that horse to break a mold in its feet. So getting back to you, Viv, and your horse, yeah, and what you said about tacking, well, I'll use my finger on the screen here, I think, if I can. Whoop, there it is. So if you wanted to go up there like that, right? So imagine a boat. So the boat wants to get to here and it starts here, but the wind is blowing this way, okay? So what happens when a horse doesn't want to go? It wants to go back here because down here is where the horses are. Up here is out where you know, no man's land. So it wants to go back to its mates down here. So why I call it tacking is when you ride like that, the natural wind is pushing the horse back down here like that, like a boat. So when you sail, you have to tack like this, okay, to get, you know, to where you want to go. So when I say to someone tacking, and what Viv means like tacking like a yacht, she's tacking the horse like this, because if you kick a horse and it turns around, then you've kicked it and actually you've got energy. But if you keep pushing the horse that way with the reins and steering it that way and kick it, it's going to want to run backwards. But if you let go of the reins, not completely that you drop them, but just loosen them up, kick your horse, the horse is going to go, oh, I can turn around. So your legs would have worked. So the horse would have turned around. But as soon as it turns around, you turn back again. And because you turn it back tight, the horse thinks it might come back down here. So it goes, oh. And then you go, oh, by the way. And then what happens is this happens. And then all of a sudden the horse goes, well, that's not working. That's not working. Oh, I'm going to go that way. And it chooses to go somewhere else. So that's what Viv means by tacking. So tacking is a really good exercise to get a horse not being stuck to go in a new direction, because you're sort of saying that door behind me is closed, but I'm going to let you search for it. And because the horse is thinking it can go that way, well, it starts to move instead of being, you know, I'm going to point you this way and kick, 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 and the horse runs backwards. So, yeah, if the horses get feet, they're stuck in the feet, anything like that, take a rein, put a bend in them. And, you know, this, well, sorry, what I mean before I go too far is if you're kicking and nothing's happening and the horse is just going backwards, then, yeah, disengage the hip through an indirect rein, take a bend, just try and steer that horse in a new direction. Now, for the people who are not sure, I might say to someone, take the rein and hold it And they got, yeah, well, I am. Look, my horse is bent around. And I say, yeah, but you let the horse release the rein. So a lot of horses are taught to release the rein. If they bend around far enough, we're going to release the pressure. And if they've been taught a lot of that, but they're the horses that get stuck still and they kind of run backwards on the legs when they don't want to go somewhere, then you well, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to get bigger with a whip and then get yourself in some real strife, which I wouldn't encourage. Are you going to get bigger spurs on and get yourself in strife, which I wouldn't encourage? Well, maybe just say if you're stuck there, well, I'm going to take a rein and I'm going to just hold it and the horse will bend and say, well, I'm bending now. But I'm going to say, but I'm not releasing the rein. You'll keep a little pressure in that rein and the horse will go, hang on a minute, that's not working. And then it'll just release through the feet. And then you just loosen up on the rein and say, thanks. And then you might go bump, bump, bump with the legs and the horse goes, nah, I'm not going to. So you just bend the rein around. And if it's an indirect rein, it'll be up towards your torso. If you're wanting the shoulders to go out, you might lift and open it. But either way, you've got to just get those feet to break and release. And the horse might bend around, but you just keep the pressure on and keep the pressure on until the horse goes, I'm in a bit of a bind here. And it'll just release the feet. And then you just let out and go, well, why don't you try again? And then that will work. So thanks, Viv. Debra, Hi, Mark. I've been focusing on my geldings ridden work after the track. He is 5 and unfortunately only trialled and never raced. Do you have any tips for helping him balance well under saddle? Being an off-the-track thoroughbred, he's still learning to work in a frame and use his hindquarters instead. I've done some groundwork. Also had a body worker out to assist me with this. I do find he's off balance and struggles with bending and riding in circles on the left, and in particular on the left hand. Do you have any? Do I know any exercises that could help? So, first of all, Dave, I'd be careful of riding him in a frame. Okay. Last question answer. I talked a little on you know, collection. And contact. What is contact? And contact is a series of, it's like a series of letters that turn into words, that turn into sentences, that turns into a kind of running, riding, and easy a conversation. So when you're training a young horse, you might pick up a right rein in a certain way and want it to just look a little, and then you might want it to step a little out there, and then you might pick up the rein in a different way, then you might bring in two reins to back up and so forth, and so you're turning words into sentences, letters into words into sentences. So contact becomes the sentence when all the letters and the words are understood, that the horse actually just understands them so well that when you put them together closer and closer and quicker and quicker, you start having a conversation that looks like there's contact on the horse all the time. That's kind of what starts to happen. So when you say you're trying to get your horse in a frame to use its hind quarter, but it can't steer, I get a little concerned because I go, well, hang on a minute. You're trying to get that horse to shape up in contact, possibly. I'm not sure. Yet it's still having trouble steering to the left. Now, if you put pressure on a horse's mouth just to get it to take a shape, and it doesn't know how to think with that pressure and really soften with that pressure and understand the differences of the rein angles and stuff like that, then you're going to sort of, you will struggle for a while with certain things, because it's almost like white noise for the horse. You've got a lot of information happening, yet the horse doesn't understand the simple little words. So I'm going to probably talk about the steering first. And the backing and things like that. So, you know, the horse is not using its hind quarter. One of the biggest things for off the track horses and those faster thinking forward horses, the reason they're not using their hind quarter is they're kind of strung out and they're over the horizon somewhere and they're going forward and they're just not in their body. Their mind is a long way ahead of them. And, you know, I think sometimes we get thinking that we got to put a shape on them and then all of a sudden they'll pick themselves up. When you shape the mind to come back to you and the horses with you more, and then also it's got a few other tools in there, then it starts to carry itself a lot better than when it's emotionally one carrying too much tension. So tension means it's not a lot of energy getting wasted, but it's kind of like a rushy energy, not a nice soft energy that's going to create that nice lift that you'd want when a horse is traveling nice. So with the steering, getting your horse to bend, a lot of horses can't steer a circle because they've never been taught just to look into a turn. Now, such a simple thing, but, I've seen a lot of horses that have had a lot of riding that just don't know how to think into a turn. And I'll go as far as saying that when I do clinics, I see a lot of horses that they can go and canter a circle, figure of eight or whatever, but when they're going left, they're thinking right, and when they're going right, they're thinking left. They might still go to the left and canter 10 circles to the left. They might do 10 circles to the right, but their thoughts are to the outside of the rein. And if you watch them in slow motion, you pick up a right rein and they start to go on thinking over there, and then they pick up a left rein and they go on thinking over there. Yet the body goes in the direction of the rein, and that's because the horse has never been taught to look. It's just been kind of getting away from the pressure but wanting to be over there. Okay, so an exercise that I would do is just get your horse, pick up an inside rein, just get your horse to flick, look, and then just let go. You can do this at a standstill. It's like when people talk about lateral flexion, but most commonly I see people slide down the rein and bend that horse around. Okay, well, I just like getting the horses to kind of cock their head and look over there, and then relax. And then look over there and relax. Look over there and relax. Look over there and relax. I think, and it might have been 10 years ago, I think I put a video up. Don't know if it's still floating around on YouTube. It was just sort of same thing, sitting on a horse I was starting, and I was talking about lateral flexion and what you're looking for, and it was just, just get that horse to look and look as if it's looking somewhere, like it's looking in the same direction. And you should know what that looks like. Most people do. But we ride around kind of not paying attention to it. And the funny thing is everyone knows it when they're looking for it, but it's when you're not looking for it, you just kind of, you're thinking more about, why is that shoulder? I always wondered, people say, Jesus, the horse is falling in on the shoulder. And it's like, it's amazing. What really amazes me is how come people have noticed how come the shoulders are falling in, and they're talking about the shoulders are falling into the circle, but how come they haven't noticed the angle of the thoughts when the horse is on the turn, and they haven't said, gee, the horse is thinking over there and that's why the shoulder's going this way, or gee, the horse is doing this. It's more so, oh, can you feel that shoulder bulge out or this shoulder fall in and things like that. And it's just as simple. You can feel the shoulder, but you can see the thoughts just as well too, because your horse's head is just in front of you all the time. Its ears are working all the time. It's always, there. So with a little bit of vision over your horse, you can see exactly where they're thinking. Over time, you get the feeling if they ride on a turn, and that's when the people with the good feel when they ride, they don't need to look because they kind of know their horse is traveling nice. So generally, those thoughts are going to be in the same direction. So when you pick up that rein, just get your horse to look. When you get to pick up the right rein, get your horse to look. Left rein, look, 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 and then just kind of reward it for that. And then you might get it to look, and then just loosen up, walk off on that tilt. So something I do with young horses is get them to walk off on a bend. Just look over there, now follow your thoughts, and let's go over there. Look over there, follow your thoughts, and go over there. So that's how I teach young horses to just ride off on a turn. So they're always balanced with the left and right rein. But that's probably one of the exact same lessons I do on an old horse that's got stiff, is some of those older horses that have got really stiff, they've braced 67,000 times to the left rein and 102 to the right rein. So sitting on them thinking that you're just going to pull the rein at a trot and they're just going to look is kind of like, you know, I wouldn't bet on it. If it was something to bet on, I wouldn't bet that the horse is going to look with the left rein just because I'm going to start noticing its thoughts. So with those really stuck horses, I might have to sit there standing still on it and go, hey, and just keep, you know, not annoying it, but just keep putting a bit of feel on that rein until it goes ka-chink, oh. And then you go, there you go. That was the first time out of 100,000, or, you know, maybe more than 100,000 times that you've actually looked with that rein and thought that way. But that's one out of 100,000, and I might have to do a few more of those to catch up. But so what I mean, you might have to do a few more to catch up so that you know you can guarantee when you're trotting, you can pick up that left rein and have the same thing happen. Because remember, the scales are, you know, if it's the horse's habit to brace and it's done it for 10 years, then, yeah, you've got to show it the right thing quite a few times before it starts to go, oh, this is a new habit. Okay. So basically just get that horse look and think and walk off on a turn, look and think and walk off on a turn. Then you can start to go, now we're on a straight line, we're walking. Now I'm going to get you to look and think while you're walking. And oh, look, you just did a turn. And then so on and so on and so on until all of a sudden you're trotting a straight line. You come back to a walk quickly. You get your horse to look into a turn and then you get the turn done and then you just gently trot off. And then after about, you know, quite a few hundred of those little ones, you might be trotting and slow your horse down, but instead of walking and getting your horse to look, you might get your horse to trot and look and then trot out on the turn. Instead of trying to shape the horse up and make it bend and put it out with the inside leg and all that, you just encourage it to like looking into its turns for a while and get really good on the inside rein. And it might take some time, but I reckon if you played around with that horse, you'd get some results in the turning department. The other thing is, if your horse feels like it's off balance all the time, don't hold it in the middle. Let the horse find the middle. So you just drop dead center. You loosen the reins. Let that horse find himself. And if he goes out here, well, you can say that door's closed, come over here. And if he goes out over there, you let him go out a little bit and then you say that door's closed, come over here. And then they start to find the middle. But the middle is where you're just sitting plumb dead center. You loosen the reins. We don't make a horse come into the middle. We let them find the middle. We use a rein to turn. We don't use a rein to straighten a horse. Yes, we do in front of a judge. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. When you're cheating and you're in front of a judge and you go, quick, cush, toe in the middle, look, all right, yeah, good. Maybe you might, you know, do that. But I believe that education is the horse finds centre, finds that nice straight line. We use the reins more for turning and yielding and all these things that we're doing with their thoughts and their body. But the straight line should be something that they find because we've just allowed them to find that straight, and then your horse will find its balance a little better, get more interested in the turns, and don't do circles, don't do straight line, don't do circles and circles and circles. Straight lines and corners are much better because after a corner, what's a horse get? It gets centered and straight lined. So he goes, oh, that was easy, I just got around the corner, I went in a new direction. A circle is a endless straight line. And it doesn't have a purpose. It's like, oh, crikey, I just came back to the same point. So I like horses to get interested in turning, to get them interested in turning. Well, we're going in a new direction. The horse goes, oh, new direction. And then they start to like turning a bit more. Thanks for that, Debra. This is a question. I'm going to go to the middle of this question somewhere. So Becky, this is about your daughter's pony. So you bought it. I'll go through it a little bit quicker in the sense, not the answer, but the question. You bought the pony. He was going good, except got him out on a really bad day when the worry cup was full. I'll just say it in the way, and he was quite anxious, and he bucked your daughter off. She's lost her confidence. Now. you've got him back in and you've got her on the lead line, getting her confidence going. He seems to be going okay under saddle on the lead line. But on the ground, however, you'd describe him as grumpy. He's food orientated. And he's a bit of a lad when it comes to the mares when they're in season. So he's a pony that thinks he's not a pony gelding. He thinks he's the stallion of the herd. He can also be hard to catch, which the owner highlighted when you got him. Yeah, here it is. I'm starting with some groundwork with him, and my main issue is he's very mouthy and in my space. He often nips at me when I'm working with him. He will grab hold of the lead rope clip. I'm waiting for a lead rope. I'm really trying to stay calm and be firm, but not angry. I give a sharp tug to get him to release the rope, then remove pressure and give verbal praise when he does. I'm also trying to be very aware of firmly maintaining my bubble while also letting him just stand and relax with me when things have gone well. Is this the right approach? Any other tips? Close to the right approach there. Definitely about your spot and your bubble. For years I've seen people, when they get pushy horses, push their horses away and push them out of their space and become the alpha leader, and then 5 minutes later the horse is pushing back on their space. And it kind of dawned on me one day, you know, when it takes a while for the penny to drop. And I kind of figured it out. And there's a saying that anyone that's done a clinic with me or has heard me say it before is, you don't teach a horse, you don't bring your boundaries to your horses all the time. You just set clear boundaries. I've said that in different ways, and there's different ways of explaining it. But bringing your boundary into your horse and pushing him away, which you're not doing, but I'm just explaining it for everyone else who listens as well. If you bring your boundaries into your horse, it's not a clear boundary. But if you set a clear boundary and your horse comes into it and bounces on it, the horse understands it. Okay, so, and I've had at clinics horses where the owner's, you know, done all the tough stuff and got that horse respecting it, kind of. Yet when they go to work it, it pushes on them and they have to chase it back again. And then within a few minutes, the horse is respecting their boundary purely because they stop pushing the horse and just saying, I just won't let you push me. And there's a big difference. Okay. So, yeah, being clear with your bubble, being a good clear tree, a strong tree, very important. Now, with the rope issues, there's various theories and things like that, and there's some young horses, nervous horses, horses that have mouthy problems that people have tried to correct it all their life and they've not got rid of it. By the sounds of his mouthy problem, it's hard to say, but in the context of what you're saying, if I worked with you at a clinic, possibly I'd go maybe do it the opposite way that I told you. But in this answer, I'm going to say don't let him mouth, because I think it's an unwanted distraction for him. It's an unneeded distraction. So I would tend to, because of his kind of strong nature. Now, his strong nature and he's kind of a little bit invasive in your space and things like that. What I would tend to do, don't sort of use the clip. A rope is such an important tool. You've got to be careful. You don't want to use it as chastising, okay? Though, you know, so... Oh, Becky, you're there, are you? Yeah. Yes, you've answered the question yourself. I was going to say that. I could use the flag to distract him when he's grabbing the rope. If I sort of taught someone to bump a rope, it's for a reason. Now, for many years, I'm getting off subject here, but it's all stuff that people learn about, but it might put it in context for you. For the years of doing clinics, I saw a lot of people do horsemanship and get bump happy with their ropes, you know, bump, 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 bumped their horse when it did this, bumped their horse when they did that, and bumped their horse when it did that. So for quite a few years of teaching clinics, I never taught people how to bump a rope because I thought it got abused and used wrongly. Now, why did it get abused? It started to become like a chastising thing. Now, it was kind of like to say, don't do that. So, and people, their horse would push on them a little, so they'd back them up by wiggling the rope, and they were kind of using the backup one to chastise the horse too. They were using the rope, and it was sort of like, get back, you've done something wrong. And they were using one, which teaching a horse to back up to say you're naughty sometimes can be bad. If you put brace in the backup and you put tension in the backup, you're going to ruin your backup, you're going to ruin the confidence in the backup and things like that. So that was sort of, you know, given what I thought causing problems in the horses. But then also what I saw was a lot of unfinished bumps, and it was like bump, the horse finished on a brace, bump, the horse finished on a brace. And so it was easy to say to everybody, just don't bump on your rope. Use it as an important tool to get into your horse's thoughts and get them to make important decisions. But don't bump and brace them. But I started now for the last while to put a little bump here and there. Now, why I do that, is because a bump is used to bring clarity and softness to a horse, okay? Not brace. So most definitely use your flag to distract him when he's pushy. Just don't get big and pushy and just bang the flag. He'll go, whoa, what was that? And you'll just stand there and go, yeah, I'm calm and I'm strong and I'm here for you and I'm still your best friend. But change that thought. So think of it as simply as that, Becky. Change that thought. Thank you. Change that thought when you're chewing the rope. Thank you. And just be quick at changing the thought, quick at being there for your horse. You won't get, you already sounds like you're not taking anything personally, which is so important. So yeah, anything like that, just distract him, reset him. Thank you. It's the same as an anxious horse. Distract them back to you. And when they're back on you, they see this pillar of calmness and kindness and strength, same as the funny horse that's pushy, that's mouthy. They just see that calmness, strength and things like that. So yeah, that's what I'd be. Yeah, that's really interesting, as when I've tugged the rope free, he braces and raises his head. Yeah. He's probably, you know, he's had anyone that's bought a pony like him, I'll guarantee that he's been kind of bumped and get off that, you little, you know, with a rope. And so there's a habit after it that's a brace. So the rope and you know, tugging that rope is obviously, you know, he braces and raises his head. So yeah, I don't know. So I've seen so many horses do it. So if someone like, just because I've talked about the bump, I'll give you an example of a bump, okay? Why if I might pick up a feel on a horse and want it to look over there and go like that, you know, look over there and soften, and that horse might just kind of go glazy in the eyes and go, so I might just go bump with the rope and it'll go, boop, what was that? And then I'll say feel again, and the horse will go, nah, and I'll go bump, and then the horse will go what? And then I'll go feel again, and then the horse will look and soften. So I completed the bump. What I mean is I used the bump to bring clarity to the horse, to get it to soften and look to the feel, instead of having to bump the flag or something like that. Now, basically the bump was a pathway to softness, not the end. If you chastise a horse with a bump, that's the end. That's what you get left with. Okay, so then the reins become a brace. So if you lift up your rope in a hurry or lift up your rein in a hurry, your horse goes, oh no, here comes a brace. Well, we don't want that. So if you're going to use a bump, make sure it's a pathway to softness and you complete it. It's only there to bring clarity, like a little flag. Bump here. Focus again. Try again. Okay, and if everyone can understand that, then maybe you can use it. But you know, like anything, don't abuse it and don't get too excited. So I hope that brings a bit of clarity. Now, yeah, all that anyway, even if he's rushing on you with feed and stuff like that, if it's feed time and he's pushy and funny, distraction, some way just distracting his thoughts. And yeah, with the personal bubble thing, same thing. When he's walking into you and you feel that's my bubble, just you sort of get bigger in the sense of you pop the flag or bang your leg and he'll go, whoa, I've just hit your bubble then. And you say, yeah, well, you didn't notice it before. And he'll just sort of rock back off it and go, oh, okay, can I try again? And you'll go, that's my bubble. Oh, okay, then. I'm okay with that. I'm settled. But you're not going to attack him for it. You just show him. Okay, Izzy, your horse, I don't know if you're on now, but I've got a mare that's got a problem with saddling. She gets nippy and stressed when you put on the pad and the saddle. I've broken it down to just pad or surcingle or both, and I do lots of walking her a little forwards when she shuts down and tries to ignore the gear. I've also been working on tossing a bit more weight on top of the pad, literally a small bag with a couple of potatoes on it, in it. And she now accepts the surcingle and pad, but she'll nip when she feels more weight or if she feels your hands around the girth moving under the pad. Her typical reaction is to tense up, shut down, then try and, I pressed the wrong button. When it all becomes too much. I have not reprimanded at all when she tries to nip the pad, etc., as I don't want to discourage her from showing me that how she feels about it. I've also done a bit of putting on a surcingle and pad and just letting her be a horse and graze. The first time I did this, she's following me and for a bit and then stood frozen in the same spot for about 45 minutes. She eventually went and grazed. I've done a couple of days in a row and she'll graze now. And she go and graze and snooze. Right, yeah, here. The biggest, she gets upset with weight movement on her back, hence why I've used the bag of potatoes. So that sounds like at the moment that's the biggest problem is adding more weight, and that's what you want to work on. She's a sensitive 9-year-old mare. I think someone must have rushed her through the saddling and not allowed her to have a look at the gear and ignored how she felt about it. So when ridden, she's always carrying a bit of worry with her. There's other problems with her too that I'm working out, but the slowest progress at the moment is the saddling business. More ideas. Okay. You sound like you're on the right track with that, Izzy. Now, just the second part of your thing, you've tried a tarp, but you worked on her with the tarp. That's a really good one. You might have just had a light bulb moment with that tarp, maybe. The tarp would have been a big thing for her, like that's different. But if you approached, and the tarp would have been new, she's probably, if she's been started and kind of just shut down to saddle and you just put up with it, what's happening is you take things slow, you let her think about it, she's going to show you what she likes or doesn't like, and we don't want to hear what they don't want to like. That's when we get all the attitude that we don't want to see, and that's why we want to fix it. So you either shut them down and tell them to, you know, just stand up and do it like a lot of people would do, and that's not a good way to do it, because you end up with a shut down horse that's like a time bomb ready to go off. And also, as an animal rights thing, it's you basically got an animal that's carrying all this tension all the time when it's around people, so it's cruel for the horses. So letting them be expressive and think and show you how they feel is important, and then we become better horse people and step up to help the horses, not bring them down to our level, kind of thing. So, but the hardest thing I have at a clinic is when I get a horse that's, you know, lost its opinion or lost the chance, like lost the ability to show its opinion in the sense it's been shut down. Once I give it an opinion, then the people got to hear what they don't want to hear. And so, yeah, like what you've done, letting her express herself is important because it makes you a better horse person and you've got to figure stuff out and say, how can I help her out through this? But it's a fine line. There's times when I've had, you know, there's one particular horse I can think of that I've dealt with a bit, and I might get a little big on that horse and get it through a spot, and the owner goes, I wouldn't have done that, or I was worried that I shouldn't do that because I don't want to shut it down. And I'm like, yeah, but this is a fine line here on certain horses of getting them through a certain spot, but keeping them open. And some horses, you know, they're definitely very intricate horses, you know, and you've got to work things accordingly. So what I would say is, I think moving and thinking is good. So when she shuts down, moving her is good. So you're doing the right thing there. I would move her. But going back to the surcingle, something I do is I just put a looped rope around her belly that you can tighten and let go like that. And I just kind of walk with her and I just kind of tighten it up a little and ask her to walk through. When she frees up a little and thinks forward, frees up in the feet, I'd loosen it off a little and I'd pick it up a little. And I just walk her around with a rope, just doing that, putting it up tight and then letting it off and just letting it kind of come on and then off and on and then off. And you'll get a few tight steps and like cranky steps, and you just hold it a little while she's walking. When she loosens up a little, you loosen up with her there, even if she loosens up in your expression, things like that, and just get her to sort of work through that a little bit while you're on it, while you're beside her. A lot of in-hand work is really good for these horses. So, you know, what I encourage people to do is I never used to do it, and then I kind of, you know, had one of those penny drops and a light bulb moment where I go, oh, instead of climbing down the side of a horse with a saddle or a saddle blanket, I'll just get them to come past me. And when they're accepting of coming past it, like what you said with the tarp here, just I'll go down to that. I've done some work with the tarp today, discovered that she had a real issue with things moving up past her eye and down onto her. So that's probably what I said before. It's the light bulb moment for you, is that's what she was like with a saddle blanket. That's what she was like with a person. That's what she was like with the saddle. No one ever addressed it. So she knew when she gets saddled, she knows when she gets saddled, oh, I better stand, I've got to do this, but I really am worried about it. But when you presented a tarp that was a whole new thing and scary, she went, I can't let that pass me. So basically you've just unlocked the first saddling with the tarp, but you went through it in a way that got her comfortable at coming past it or something like that. So with the tarp, you could shake that tarp and walk her past it and she could soften and go past it and you could rub on her. Well, that's what should have got done with the saddle years ago and all that sort of stuff. So doing that with the tarp will also hopefully give you a chance back with that saddle to say, see, you were scared of that tarp, but you weren't educated with the tarp, so you know, you got a proper fright. But it opens you up to what you used to be like with the saddle. So then you can go back to the saddling and so you could do a lot of work and crunch that tarp and say, and then get to a stage that she can softly walk past that tarp on both eyes and things like that. And then you can walk with her with the tarp and rub her over. And if she can, in her own way, get used to that tarp, not by smothering her with it until she just shuts down and just goes with it. I mean, by watching her and leading her here and rustling that tarp, and she looks at it, and then you just get it curious and following, and then she softens a little, and then she's the one that makes, you know, closes in and goes past it instead of you shoving it on and just kind of doing this until she gets, you know, stiller in her feet. Then she's going to get more confidence. And then basically you do a bit of a lesson with the tarp and you transfer back to the saddle and the saddle pad, because I don't like people taking this the wrong way. It's like you got to have enemies, okay? And in horse training, you got to have enemies. If you get a horse used to everything, like, look, this is a blanket, this is a flag, this is that, then all of a sudden you're the enemy because you're the one they still can't understand. It's your education that makes them stressed and things like that. But if you can help them out when something over there scares them, then they go, wow, you really can help me because I'm scared of that and you've helped me. So scary things in their environment are really helpful to gain a stronger connection with us because instead of us being the enemy, we become the helper. And that's why, you know, sometimes a nervous horse responds quicker to people than a horse is just like, oh, yeah, okay. So, so if the flag was worse for this moment, I mean, sorry, the tarp was worse than the saddle blanket, then it goes back to the saddle blanket going, well, I've accepted that tarp and you're a little saddle blanket, but I associate you with a bad experience. You've got a bad memory, saddle blanket, but I'm more obedient, but I'm very grumpy about you. Well, you go back to the saddle blanket and the things like that after the tarp, where the horse has openly thought about something scary, got better with it, and then you go back to that. But where I was going before was the rope on, rope off, rope on, walking beside your horse. If you can get that horse to walk past you on both eyes softly and kind of ground drive your horse in a sense that you could walk from the wither with your hand on the wither and the horse walks out beside you, ahead of you a little bit, but you can just walk beside it. It's not rushing. It's not crabbing away. It's just comfortable with you walking beside it there. And you can just do a little inside turns with it. Straight lines, inside turns. If the horse is comfortable with that, then it might be ready to have a saddle on. If she can't walk with you, just standing there, just gently rubbing on her, then she's got this much anxiety just by walking beside you while you rub on her. While you're beside her saddling her, well, there's going to be a lot more there. So think of it like that as, okay, if she can cope with you rubbing all down a hip and walk beside you and things like that on both sides, then you're in a good position to help her with a saddle. If you can't walk beside your horses and rub them down the sides and things like that, walking. And why I say walking is because a horse will freeze, but then when it moves, you find out what you really got. You know where its thoughts are when it moves because it's going to move towards its thoughts. As soon as those feet move, they tell you exactly, more so exactly, what they were going to do when they were standing because you've got them moving. So that's why I say to people, I don't care if a horse moves, as long as it moves softly. You know, once a horse can move softly, the standing's easy. So yeah, if you do that, then you know there's none of you being beside your horse that's a problem. Because if the horse has got a little problem with people and a bigger problem with the saddle, then you kind of got two problems in there all at once doing something which makes it worse. So work on things without the saddle, that your horse is good to walk past, good around, walk with you, both sides, things like that, while you rub it over, handle it, get that right. So you and the horse are going good together. Then bring the saddle in and say, righto, now, sorry, saddle blanket. Now I'm going to do the same. I'm going to walk beside you. I'm just going to rub you, groom you with a saddle blanket while you're walking along. And then I'm, you know, same with the rope as I explained before. And then the next thing might be the saddle. But while you're doing your handling on your horse, while you're walking beside it and letting it steer and things like that, start to put a little bit more pressure on it. You know, just rub, put a bit of weight on it. You know, weight over here and build on that, and then get to the stage where you can chuck a saddle on. But get your horse to a stage that you can walk past you while you hold the saddle. You can hold it the other way, walk it around you like that. You could lift the saddle up a little, you know, get a lighter saddle to start with so it's easy to pick up, you know, just like just an all-purpose saddle. And, you know, the horse is fine with that, and then just put that saddle on and, you know, walk beside the saddle and, well, without a girth on it, like, because you'd already taught your horse to soften beside you and things like that. That should already be done. The only thing the horse has got to get used to then is the saddle on its own, not the person and the saddle, just the saddle, because the person's done the job getting them used to the person. Then you put the saddle on and you know, I'm going to rub you with that saddle a little, and you have a lighter saddle that you can just pull off if the horse was going to buck. But by the sounds of it, it's more so grumpy looks and things like that. But if you've already done that handling and rubbing and, you know, with your hand and then a saddle blanket and then that saddle, putting weight over it, then the horse will start to go, oh, that's not too bad. And it might take a little bit of time, but, you know, obviously the other way didn't work. And, you know, sometimes people go, oh, that's going to take me ages. And it's like, well, 3 years of riding a horse is still cranky to saddle is taking a long time as far as I'm concerned. So going back and fixing a few things that might seem like it takes a while is really the fast way in a sense, you know, especially when you see a horse that's 20 years old and still can't catch it because as soon as you get near it, it doesn't like you. You know, it's worth putting a bit of effort into some things. So, yeah, I hope that helps on that saddling, you know, stuff. You know, it's just something to think about maybe and try. But, yeah, the biggest thing is the horse scared of me in different positions? Work on all that first, then bring the things in that the horse, you know, other things the horse doesn't like. Because, you know, you go just look at a, you know, a way of the horse, road to the horse, these quick young colt starts, things like that. Horse is still frightened of person putting saddle on horse. Horse kind of copes, gets a little flooded, shuts down a little bit, but finishes anxious with things. Basically, the horse was still frightened of the person when you're putting a saddle on it. And yeah, I've done years of doing that and got through okay because I was still fixing up things each day that I left untied the day before. But, you know, if I was teaching you guys to be thorough, then keep it simple, work on one thing at a time and then bring the next thing in. And then at least, you know, the cup's empty when you go to the next task. Not you haven't got two shots of worry from yesterday or, you know, you step in and there's still one shot of worry because you're on that eye and it doesn't like you on that eye. But anyway, so empty the cup, go to the next thing and keep moving along like that. That's what I'd encourage. Speaking of that, actually, something I just off the cuff, I just got a phone call from the other day for Equitana, and they said, "Would you like to do the way of the horse?" And I declined. I said, "No, that's not really for me." So, but anyway, it was nice that they asked. But yeah, anyway, I think I'll make sure I've got everyone on that one. Yes, I do. I've got everyone. Thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, look out for another post in close to a fortnight for some more questions. And yeah, I'll talk to you next time. Thank you.